Well, President Trump calling him, quote, a dried out prune. That, of course, the boss, Bruce Springsteen, responding along with the E Street Band performing in Manchester, England, and responding to the comments by President Trump, putting it this way in song and in lyrics. Listen.
In my country, they're taking sadistic pleasure in the pain that they inflict on loyal American workers. They're rolling back historic civil rights legislation that led to a more just and plural society. They're abandoning our great allies and siding with dictators against those struggling for their freedom. They're defunding American universities that won't bow down to their ideological demands. They're removing residents off American streets, and without due process of law, are deporting them to foreign detention centers and prisons. This is all happening now. A majority of our elected representatives have failed to protect the American people from the abuses of an unfit president and a rogue government. They have no concern or idea of what it means to be deeply American.
That in Manchester, England, using the megaphone that is uniquely Bruce Springsteen, again, responding to the comments by President Trump. Of course, the boss has been a longtime supporter of Democrats, including Bill Clinton, Barack Obama, Joe Biden, and Kamala Harris. Ben Ritz is Vice President of Policy Development at the Progressive Policy Institute. Let's talk about politics, including midterm election politics. Ben, thanks so much for being with us. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
So you're writing about what I'm calling the Battle of the Bees, because the Democrats had Build Back Better and the Republicans have the big, beautiful bill. As you look at what Joe Biden dealt with in his first year or two of his administration and compare that to what now Donald Trump is dealing with in the first year of his second term, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think there are actually a lot of similarities between the two approaches that both of these presidents took. And it's kind of ironic because Donald Trump was elected basically in a backlash to a lot of the policies that Biden enacted and his general approach to governance. And now he's doing the same thing. So just a few examples of that. Both of them decided to cram through these massive mega bills through this reconciliation process to get through the filibuster. And instead of focusing on solving a pressing national need, really just chalked these bills full of these ideological wish lists. Neither of them were fully paid for or even significantly paid for. They'd add tremendous amounts, trillions of dollars to the debt. And to hide that fact, they both used timing gimmicks and budget gimmicks to hide that cost in the legislative process. But I think what's interesting is Trump is doing it to a much bigger degree. His bill would add much more to the deficit than Biden's would under either a conventional score or when you take away the gimmicks.
So let's talk about the tariffs, because the White House is saying, again, there's a big debate on where this will all land. But on Liberation Day, the president, the administration saying over the next 10 years, these tariffs would raise $6 trillion. Is that phony money? Is that gamesmanship? It seems like a huge amount, because especially if it has a impact on the economy, a slowdown of the economy. And of course, since Liberation Day, the White House has backed down on most of these tariffs.
Yeah, so that's a really simplistic analysis that, you know, if we have the exact same amount of imports and we can collect a certain percentage of that in revenue, it's $6 trillion. But imports would go down dramatically if these tariffs stayed in place. Independent estimates show we are more likely to get something like $2 trillion in the best case scenario. But again, as you said, that assumes that they stayed in place. Trump already is starting to walk them back, and he's he and a lot of members of his administration are suggesting it is negotiating leverage, which means that they would presumably pull these back when trade deals are reached. So we're not going to get even a small fraction of that revenue.
So I began the program, Ben, in hour one, talking about the cutbacks at the National Weather Service and some terrible storms, especially some overnight storms in Kentucky. And again, I'm going to be quick to say I'm not equating those deaths with these cutbacks, but the optics of how these DOGE cutbacks are affecting everyday Americans, especially in red states like Kentucky and Indiana and Oklahoma. And the other part of the equation is the cutbacks on Medicaid and what you sense Republicans will have to do to defend these cuts in the cauldron of the midterm elections in just over a year from now.
Yeah, I think these are going to be very toxic cuts. We've seen, you know, some of the things that DOGE has gone after, they're things that actually don't cost very much money. The National Weather Service is pennies out of the whole federal budget. And yet, if we don't have an accurate weather service, if we're not able to respond to these storms and do emergency management effectively, this is a basic function of government that's going to have tremendous effects on people's lives. And so I think that has the potential to be a huge detriment to Republicans in the midterms. And at the end of the day, it's still not going to come close to paying for this bill. So I agree with you. I think it's going to have pretty bad effects on them in the midterms.
What was your reaction to Moody's downgrading the U.S. credit in large part because of the expectation that this bill that House Republicans are now grappling with is going to blow another hole into the national debt?
I think they're right, frankly. You know, there are three major ratings agencies, and Moody's has been by far the most patient with the federal government on its fiscal situation. But as we're looking at this tax debate, the so-called deficit hawks in the Republican Party, the guys who are, you know, planting the flag and saying we want this thing to be paid for, even the most quote-unquote fiscally responsible Republican has said they are okay with $2.8 trillion added to the deficit over the next decade. It is a question of, do we add $2.8 trillion or $5.8 trillion? And when that is the debate and we're already spending more on interest payments as a percent of economic output than ever in our history, when we're spending more on interest than on Medicaid or national defense, and we're going to be adding at least $2.8 trillion to the debt, I understand why they did what they did.
So even interest rates affected by all of this, and again, this is creating the domino effect that you're writing about at the Progressive Policy Institute, because interest rates now between 6.9 to 7%. And boy, if you're looking to buy a home, especially a first-time home buyer, this is a huge increase from what we saw early in the Biden administration. My thinking is, how Republicans run on this with higher costs, higher tariffs, and now at the moment at least, higher interest rates?
I mean, that's the big question, isn't it? Like, these guys got elected on a campaign against the inflationary effects of Biden's policies. And, you know, unlike Trump, Biden's inflation, part of it was his policies. It did have a meaningful impact on it. But a lot of it was post-COVID supply chain shocks and things that were kind of outside his control. We're really starting to get inflation under control when Donald Trump came back into office. And now between the tariffs and this big budget busting bill, you know, he's really doing everything he can to pour fuel on the fire. We're going to see consumers and families dealing and businesses dealing with these consequences, and they're really not going to have anybody to blame but themselves for it. So I think, you know, voters will hopefully, you know, attribute the pain they're feeling to the policies that caused it. And if they do, that's going to cause a big backlash to the Republicans, who, again, really campaigned on and were elected to do exactly the opposite of what they're doing here.
And again, let's be clear about this, because Republicans were very quick to go after Democrats with the excessive spending of the early Biden administration. That also contributed to inflation. To quote James Carville, it's the economy, stupid. What is the state of play right now with the economy? Because sooner or later, it is going to be Donald Trump's economy.
Yeah, I think we saw the effects on the stock market and the bond market from the quote unquote Liberation Day tariffs. you know, some of that has subsided as he rolled back the tariffs. But we're seeing interest rates now going back up in the wake of the Moody's downgrade. I would expect that as we continue to add more to the deficit, that puts upward pressure on prices, upward pressure on interest rates. You know, we're going to see over the next couple months, you know, how many of these tariffs stick, how do they go into effect, how do businesses pass on the cost to consumers, and as supply of goods goes down because the price of inputs has gone up because of the tariffs, that's going to make things more scarce. It's going to cost us jobs. It's going to raise prices, and I think, you know, I would not be surprised if it puts us closer to a recession than we otherwise would have been.
Wow. Well, that would be something, especially is something that Donald Trump ran on inflation and the economy. Ben Ritz from the Progressive Policy Institute. Check out his piece at progressivepolicy.org. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks.